Да здравствует 60-я годовщина Великой Октябрьской социалистической революции! Да здравствует героический советский народ и его доблестные вооруженные силы! Слава Коммунистической партии Советского Союза, руководящей и направляющей силе советского общества! Ура!
Hello, comrades and friends. Welcome to Back in the USSR. I'm Siegfried. And I want to begin with a thought for the day by Vijay Prashad from his social media on January 18th, 2026. And he says, in the global south, no left government or even government that is not left but seeks national sovereignty is a government without contradictions. Those contradictions are not only within the ranks of the governments themselves, but they mirror the contradictions in the world. Those who critique these governments from a standpoint of purity simply want to wash their hands of the contradictions of the world, the muck of human history. That is a position of great privilege. If you are inside the historical process, trying to drive it forward, you understand the nature of contradictions, and you understand the place of imperialism in trying to suffocate these governments. Mao Zedong, in On Contradiction, 1937, figured this out clearly. So So Vijay Prashad, you know, like amazing scholar, left-wing scholar, progressive scholar, communist, basically sums up my own thinking on the current situation in Iran, which I briefly mentioned last week when discussing how Venezuela is resisting U.S. imperial aggression, which has recently just kicked into hyperdrive. The mainstream Western media has been going full throttle for the past 2 weeks, covering the protests in Iran, drumming up support for American military intervention, and even predicting the return of the deposed Iranian monarchy and the restoration of friendly diplomatic ties between Iran and apartheid Israel. I mean, regardless of events on the ground, I mean, their agenda could not be more clear. They want the destruction of Iran as a anti-imperialist force in the region, you know, in West Asia, and in particular, its solidarity with Palestine as the bombing of Gaza continues daily. And it's important to recognize, you know, as an anti-imperialist, it's important to recognize that these protests in Iran were kicked off by a tightening of U.S.-led economic sanctions, which led to serious repercussions for small businesses in particular throughout Iran, throughout the country. Yet Western governments are calling for more sanctions, more economic strangulation of the country, more ordinary Iranians dead from lack of vital medicines, all supposedly out of solidarity with the protesters. This is absolutely criminal. Any solidarity with the Iranian people that does not begin, that does not start with the immediate removal of sanctions, is completely fake. A mask for empire in war. And over the last few weeks, I mean, the U.S. has just been going all out trying to start a war with Iran. And, you know, however many people died and however brutal the Iranian government's crackdown might have been, it's a fact that the forces of empire, both the Israeli Mossad and the CIA, were on the ground in the country creating carnage over the past few weeks. They've openly admitted as much. Now, currently, the situation in Iran has calmed down. Donald Trump has been forced to tone down his aggressive rhetoric about regime change and war, given that Iranian missiles have the ability to pulverize just about every American base in West Asia, including Israel itself. Just like in Venezuela, regime change has failed in Iran. The empire has not succeeded with its goals. And I know some comrades out there aren't exactly happy about this. They want a socialist Iran. They want an end to theocracy and religious rule. They want rights for women and workers. And I want to stress that none of these things are going to be possible without a serious weakening of U.S. empire and that empire's ability to intervene in countries worldwide. Because if the Islamic Republic of Iran had fallen in the last few weeks, you wouldn't get a socialist Iran. You would get a new Shah. You would get a puppet government dominated by proxies of the United States and Israel. You would see the loss of Palestine's biggest ally in the region and an utter disaster for the Palestinian resistance as a whole. And the workers and women of Iran would face greater repression, not less. And that's because imperialism's grip remains strong in West Asia. I mean, look at all the anti-imperialist countries that were formerly in West Asia, like Syria and Libya and Iraq even, that have been destroyed in the last few decades, just absolutely obliterated. And puppet governments coming to the fore, some of which are getting cozy with Israel and with the U.S., you know, and they aren't imperialist in the least anymore. And they don't support Palestine. If Iran joined that list, I mean, it would be disaster for everyone. You know, for all the people of that region. So it's imperialism's tight grip on West Asia. That's what needs to change. That's what needs to change. If you want to see any progressive change in Iran or anything like that, imperialism is the first thing that needs to go. It needs to be eliminated. It needs to be destroyed. There has to be a truly sovereign Iran that is not under siege. And then the Iranian people can truly decide their future without imperialism coming in and just strong-arming the people and like getting its way and forcing its will on them. That's what needs to change. So with that, I want to get into, you know, like I have over the last few weeks with regard to Venezuela, I want to play an amazing breakdown of the situation in Iran by Ben Norton of the Geopolitical Economy Report. He did a great job breaking down America's efforts to intervene in the current situation in Iran over the first few weeks of this year, of 2026. So I'm going to turn to that right now. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
And by the way, to all Iranian patriots, keep protesting, take over your institutions if possible. And all I say to them is help is on its way.
If you follow the Western media, you will no doubt have seen that there is nonstop coverage of protests going on in Iran. And Iranian rioters are burning down government buildings. Western governments have openly expressed support for these very violent protests, which they falsely claim are peaceful. But in reality, the Israeli media has admitted that foreign governments are arming these so-called protesters. A journalist at Israel's Channel 14 publicly admitted that, quote, foreign actors are arming the protesters in Iran with live firearms. Everyone is free to guess who is behind it, end quote. This is an Israeli journalist making it clear that Israel is arming the so-called protesters in Iran that are attacking state security forces, including police, with weapons. And it's very likely that the United States is also involved. Al Jazeera reported that Iranian authorities have found U.S. arms and explosive equipment in the homes of these insurgents that are trying to overthrow the Iranian government. And yeah, a lot of people responded to this news claiming that this is Iranian propaganda. But then the Israeli media came out and publicly admitted that foreign countries are arming the so-called protesters in Iran, which is really bombshell evidence that this is part of a larger regime change operation. These are not so-called peaceful protests. They are explicitly aimed at destabilizing and trying to overthrow Iran's independent government. This came just a few days after the United States launched an attack on Venezuela. The U.S. bombed Venezuela, and the Trump administration kidnapped Venezuela's internationally recognized president, Nicolas Maduro. And now the Trump administration is openly supporting these very violent protests in Iran. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has said very clearly, quote, the United States supports the brave people of Iran, end quote. And again, the narrative in the Western media is that supposedly these are peaceful, but all you have to do is look at photos and videos and you can see that these are extremely violent riots and these U.S.-backed rioters are burning down government buildings. In fact, Donald Trump has been very open about the fact that he's supporting these very violent protests. And Trump on social media has been constantly posting messages in support of these rioters. And he even called on them to take over Iranian institutions, saying that Iranian government officials will, quote, pay a big price, end quote. And he also said that, quote, help is on its way. Make Iran great again, end quote.
And by the way, to all Iranian patriots, keep protesting. Take over your institutions if possible. And all I say to them is help is on its way. You saw that I put tariffs on anybody doing business with Iran. Just went into effect today. And I say make Iran great again. You know, it was a great country until these monsters came in and took it over. And it's all very fragile.
Trump even openly threatened to attack Iran. He falsely referred to these violent rioters as peaceful protesters. And he said, quote, "The United States of America will come to their rescue. We are locked and loaded and ready to go," end quote. And the New York Times has reported that the Trump administration is making plans to potentially bomb Iran again. Let's not forget that back in June 2025, Trump bombed Iran, and on his social media platform, Truth Social, he called for regime change in Iran, repeating the slogan, "Make Iran great again." So the U.S. government has not been hiding the fact in any way that it is supporting violent riots aimed at overthrowing Iran's government. You cannot understand what's happening if you do not keep in mind these very basic facts. So in order to analyze the situation in its larger geopolitical context, I want to briefly review some history here so we can understand how we got to where we are today. Because you cannot actually grasp what is happening if you do not understand how the United States and other Western powers have been meddling in Iran's internal affairs for decades, trying to put in power puppet regimes to undermine the sovereignty of Iran and to serve the interests of Western governments and Western corporations. Back in the early 1950s, the people of Iran voted for the democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, who nationalized the oil reserves in Iran. He argued that the oil of Iran belonged to the Iranian people, yet this angered oil corporations in the UK and the US, so the British and the US governments carried out a coup in 1953 that overthrew Iran's democratically elected leader. And the Western imperialist powers installed the Shah, the monarch of Iran, who is a brutal dictator. Today, the Western powers cynically claim to promote so-called democracy and human rights in Iran. But when the US and the UK put the Shah in power, this king, an unelected monarch, what did he do? He oversaw one of the most brutal regimes in the history of the country. Time magazine pointed out that the secret police under the Shah, the feared Savak, became, quote, "Iran's most hated and feared institution. With virtually unlimited powers to arrest and interrogate, Savak has tortured and murdered thousands of the Shah's opponents," end quote. This is the brutal and corrupt puppet regime that the Western imperialist powers were propping up in Iran for over two decades, from 1953 until 1979. And that year, there was a popular revolution. The people of Iran rose up and overthrew the Western-backed monarchy. And ever since, the US government has tried to destabilize and topple the new revolutionary government in Tehran, especially because the new revolutionary government became a strong supporter of anti-imperialist movements in the so-called Middle East, in West Asia, particularly for the Palestinians. The Iranian government has strongly supported the Palestinian Liberation Movement in its fight against US-sponsored Israeli colonialism, but also because Iran has supported revolutionary resistance movements in Lebanon and Iraq and Syria and Yemen. These groups have fought back against Israeli colonialism and also against the US empire after the US invaded Iraq illegally in 2003 and occupied the country, and also after the US waged war on Syria and Yemen. So for many years, the United States has tried to destabilize the Iranian government, and the goal of the US empire was spelled out in 1992 in the Pentagon's so-called Wolfowitz Doctrine, in which the US empire said that its goal was to prevent the emergence of, quote, "any hostile power from dominating a region critical to our interests," end quote. And the strategic regions mentioned by the Pentagon included East Asia, which is a threat against China, and also the Middle East/Persian Gulf. where Iran is seen as a challenger to U.S. dominance of the region. And the Wolfowitz Doctrine made it clear that the U.S. wants to control the resources in these strategic regions. And it goes without saying that the Middle East, West Asia, is one of the most geostrategic regions of the world. It has some of the world's largest reserves of oil and natural gas. And it's also a very strategic region geographically because it connects Europe to Asia. Likewise, some of the world's most important geographic choke points are in this region, including the Suez Canal, an important trade route connecting the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, along with the Bab al-Mandab, connecting the Arabian Sea with the Red Sea, going through the Suez Canal into the Mediterranean. And then finally, the Strait of Hormuz, which the U.S. government's Energy Information Administration, the EIA, has referred to as the world's single most important oil transit choke point. And every single day, millions of barrels of oil and also liquefied natural gas pass through these crucial geostrategic choke points, which are pivotal for international trade, not only in energy, but in other goods. And the U.S. empire has always tried to maintain strategic domination of this region. And since the 1979 revolution, Iran has been a major thorn in the side of the U.S. empire, preventing it from consolidating regional hegemony. And of course, Iran has formed a close partnership with Russia, one of Washington's main adversaries, and Iran has very good relations with China as well. And the United States is waging a new Cold War, and China is the main target of that new Cold War. And by the way, Iran is also a member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization alongside China and Russia. And Iran is also a full member of BRICS, the Global South-led organization that is trying to build a more multipolar world order. And Iran has been strongly supportive of other countries in the Global South, including in Latin America. Iran has formed a close partnership with the revolutionary governments in Latin America, like Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. And the U.S. would love to destabilize the Iranian government and put in power a new pro-Western regime that would cut ties with China and Russia. And back in 2003, when the U.S. government was waging war in Iraq, the top U.S. general and former commander of NATO, Wesley Clark, revealed that in the George W. Bush administration, the Pentagon had made plans to try to overthrow seven countries in 5 years. Those were Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. And the U.S. did succeed in carrying out regime change in all of those countries except Iran. Now, obviously, it took much more than 5 years. We're talking here more than 20 years later. But the U.S. empire's strategy to try to remake the entire region and put in power puppet regimes largely succeeded in most of these countries. Again, Iran is the only remaining country. Listen to this very revealing clip here. And again, keep in mind, this is a top U.S. and NATO official speaking back in 2003.
Right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in and talk to me a second." He reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
Now, as I mentioned earlier in this analysis today, Donald Trump has been very open about the fact that he wants regime change in Iran. Back in June 2025, Trump directly bombed Iran, and on his social media platform, Truth Social, he called for regime change. He said, quote, "It's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? MEGA, make Iran great again, end quote. I mentioned earlier that the U.S. government has been blatantly meddling in Iran's internal affairs and violating its sovereignty for decades. This certainly is not something new with Trump, but what is unique about Trump is he has no filter and he just admits the truth. Whereas other U.S. presidents, they often try to beat around the bush and they use this ridiculous propaganda rhetoric about freedom and democracy and all that nonsense, which is completely cynical. They don't actually believe in that. Trump just comes out clearly and says, yeah, we're using force and we're backing these violent riots to try to overthrow the Iranian government. So at the beginning of January, on the 2nd, one day before Trump bombed Venezuela and kidnapped Venezuela's internationally recognized president, Nicolas Maduro, and of course, Venezuela is an important ally of Iran. So one day before that attack, Trump openly threatened the Iranian government and he said that if the Iranian government takes action against so-called peaceful protesters, and we'll talk about how they have not been peaceful, they're burning down government buildings. But Trump said of these violent rioters, he said, quote, "The United States of America will come to their rescue. We are locked and loaded and ready to go," end quote. Then on the 9th, Trump spread fake news to his millions of followers on social media, falsely claiming that Iran's second largest city, Mashhad, was under protesters' control and so-called regime forces left. Again, this is not true. This is disinformation being spreaded by the Israeli media and echoed by the U.S. president. Then on the 10th, Trump said, "Iran is looking at freedom. The USA stands ready to help." On the 12th, Trump followed up with another threat, and he announced that any country doing business with Iran will pay a tariff of 25% on all business done with the United States. This is part of the larger U.S. attempt to economically suffocate Iran. Trump put illegal unilateral sanctions on Iran aimed at trying to destroy the Iranian economy, which is a reason why protests started in the first place. In addition to foreign meddling in the country, there's been a lot of inflation and shortages and economic issues due to these illegal sanctions imposed by the U.S. in violation of international law. And now Trump is tightening that economic blockade on Iran by threatening other countries and telling them that if they trade with Iran, then the U.S. is going to try to punish them by putting tariffs on their goods when they trade with the U.S. And then finally, a day later, on the 13th of January, Trump openly called on Iranians to, quote, "keep protesting, take over your institutions," end quote. So he's calling for them to overthrow the government. This is what that means. It's a call for regime change. Imagine if Russia's President Putin came out on social media and he called for American protesters to take over the White House, to take over the Pentagon, to take over U.S. government institutions. That would rightly be condemned as foreign meddling and a foreign leader calling for overthrowing the U.S. government. This is what the U.S. president is doing right now in Iran. And Trump also threatened Iranian government officials and said, quote, "They will help a big price," end quote. And he vowed that the U.S. government is going to meddle in Iran and likely attack Iran. He said, quote, "Help is on its way. Make Iran great again. MEGA," end quote. Now, it's very obvious what he means by that. The New York Times reported that the Trump administration is considering bombing Iran just like it bombed Iran in June 2025. In fact, the U.S. military has been withdrawing personnel from some key bases in West Asia, especially from Qatar, because the largest U.S. military base in the region is the Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. And Tehran has said that if Trump bombs Iran, it will respond in self-defense. And previously, when the U.S. attacked Iran, Tehran did respond by targeting U.S. bases in the region, especially the Al Udeid base in Qatar. The Wall Street Journal also published an article detailing how the Trump administration is considering attacking Iran. This article is titled "U.S. Steps Up Planning for Possible Action in Iran." Of course, action is a euphemism. The Wall Street Journal noted that top U.S. officials are discussing ideas including boosting anti-government sources online, which is another way of saying spreading disinformation, propaganda, and fake news to try to demonize Iran, to destabilize the government. Another policy the U.S. is considering is deploying cyber weapons against Iranian military and civilian sites, so attacking civilian sites in Iran. Another is more sanctions. In a few minutes here, I'll talk about the devastating impact of sanctions, the illegal U.S. sanctions on Iran, and how they're aimed at economic asphyxiation and are in large part responsible for these protests. And then finally, the Wall Street Journal acknowledged that the Trump administration is considering more military strikes on Iran. And Trump was asked about this by reporters on Air Force One, and he said, quote, "We're looking at some very strong options," end quote. Now, earlier I mentioned that the U.S. government's claim that these are so-called peaceful protests is completely false. And even though the Western media is spreading nonstop propaganda in support of these riots, there has been some reporting in the Western media admitting that these are extremely violent. For instance, the BBC, British state media, published a video titled "Watch Buildings in Tehran Set on Fire as Demonstrations Spread Across Iran." Similarly, Euronews and Yahoo News admitted that these rioters in Iran, being backed by the U.S. government, are burning down government buildings, not only in the capital Tehran, but in other cities like Karaj. Israeli media outlets have been boasting about the fact that these Iranian rioters are burning down government buildings and public institutions. So Ynet, which is an Israeli propaganda outlet, published an article titled "Arson Attacks on Regime Symbols as Protests Escalate in Iran." It noted with glee that these Iranian crowds are torching police motorcycles, state TV buildings, and governor's offices. And NBC News even admitted that these Western-backed rioters in Iran are burning down mosques, which is absolutely crazy. They're not only targeting political institutions, they're targeting religious institutions in a country that is very religious. Look, I'm not a religious person at all, but this is absolutely insulting and outrageous to religious people. This is an insult to billions of Muslims around the world, not only people in Iran, but around the world. Think about the message that this sends to other people. And yet these are the violent rioters who are being supported by Western governments to try to destabilize and overthrow the Iranian government in the name of so-called democracy and human rights. I mean, it's a complete farce. And it's not just buildings like government offices and mosques that are being burned down by these rioters. They're also attacking and killing government officials, including more than 100 security officers. Police and other security officers have been killed by these Western-backed insurgents. And again, some Western skeptics may claim that's all Iranian propaganda, but a major Israeli media outlet, Israel's Channel 14, which, by the way, is extremely supportive of the Israeli regime and its leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. This is not opposition media in Israel. This is basically Israeli state media. And one of their reporters publicly admitted, again, I'm reading from his tweet, quote, "Foreign actors are arming the protesters in Iran with live firearms, which is the reason for hundreds of regime personnel killed," end quote. So this is Israeli media admitting that foreign countries, which were unnamed, but it was heavily implied that he's talking about the U.S. and Israel, are giving weapons to the so-called protesters in Iran. And he acknowledged that hundreds of security forces from the Iranian government have been killed by the so-called protesters. Again, these are not peaceful protests. And it's not even just violent riots. That's actually a euphemism. This is a straight up insurgency being backed by foreign governments to try to overthrow the independent Iranian government. And this is eerily reminiscent of what happened in 2011 in Libya and Syria, when the U.S. and its allies in the region, not only Israel, but also some of the Gulf monarchies, flooded Syria with weapons, and they also flooded Libya with weapons, and backed the so-called moderate rebels, right? They originally claimed that they were peaceful protesters, but then suddenly the so-called peaceful protesters being backed by the Western media, they had a bunch of weapons, and they were attacking the Syrian government and the Libyan government, and then US-led NATO forces directly intervened in Libya and overthrew the Libyan government in 2011. Here we are 15 years later, and there's still an ongoing civil war and chaos and a failed state in Libya. And in Syria, it took much longer, but they did eventually succeed in overthrowing the Syrian government as well. After destroying the country, after hundreds of thousands of people died, and still today you hear this propaganda on the West claiming that the reason for the Syria war is that the Syrian regime, they always say, just hated human rights and just cracked down on these so-called peaceful protests, not mentioning that those so-called protests were actually extremely violent riots. It was an insurgency backed by foreign countries to try to overthrow the government, which we can see happening in Iran today. Now, I'm not predicting that what happened in Syria and Libya is going to be repeated in Iran, but you can see that the US and Israel are certainly trying to repeat something similar in Iran. And people should stop being so naive about what's happening and acting as though we haven't seen this story before. This childish propaganda claiming that it's an evil, bad regime that hates human rights and they're just so authoritarian, and anytime people go out in the streets, they just kill everyone. They don't want any protests. That is a childish narrative. You have to actually understand the geopolitical forces driving what is happening on the ground in these situations, because what's happening in Iran has been repeated many times before. So I've already made it very clear here that the US government seeks regime change in Iran. Trump openly admitted it. But what is the US strategy? Well, the Trump administration is also not so secretly working with this puppet, the so-called crown prince of Iran. This is the son, or better said, the fail son, of the US-backed dictator, the Shah, who governed Iran as a brutal dictatorship with an iron fist from 1953, when the CIA overthrew Iran's democratically elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, because he nationalized Iran's oil, until the Iranian Revolution in 1979. The US wants to put in power this total puppet. And when I say he's a fail son, I'm not exaggerating. This guy has never had a job. His entire job, his entire life, has been being a US puppet to try to destabilize the revolutionary Iranian government after his dad, the monarch, was overthrown in a popular revolution. And he spent most of his life living in the United States, claiming to be the so-called exiled crown prince. And the Western media outlet Axios reported that the Trump administration has secretly been meeting with this so-called crown prince and making plans to try to put him in power. And this so-called crown prince, Reza Pahlavi, was given a softball propaganda interview on CBS News, which at this point is basically state media. Now it's run by Barry Weiss, who's a Trump sycophant, and owned by a billionaire oligarch who's a major Trump ally. And they're doing nonstop propaganda in support of these violent riots in Iran. And during one of these interviews, this US-backed puppet, the so-called crown prince, made a very revealing admission. He said, these are not peaceful protests. He said, quote, this is war, and war has casualties, end quote. And he was defending the fact that these Western-sponsored rioters are, yes, they are losing their lives in Iran because they're trying to violently overthrow the government. And obviously, the Iranian government is responding in defense. And this US-sponsored so-called crown prince is openly saying, yeah, we are at war with the Iranian government. And these rioters who are losing their lives, they are casualties of this foreign-sponsored war. Listen to this extremely revealing admission here.
But as you are urging people to protest and go to the streets, the death toll is rising in Iran. This violent crackdown continues just as it has in past attempted revolutions. I mean, is it responsible to be sending citizens in Iran to their deaths? Do you bear some responsibility?
As I said, this is a war, and war has casualties. In fact, in order to preserve and protect and minimize the death toll, minimize innocent victims yet again be killed by this regime, action is needed. The regime is going to try and brutalize its citizenry as it has always done. But we are in a fight for liberation. I didn't ask the people to come to the streets to fight against the regime because I wanted so. They asked me to step in to help them and to be their voice on the outside world, to do everything that we can so we make this uprising successful this time. And I think we have some serious leaders that understand what is necessary, that understand the ask of the Iranian people and are responding to that. I think President Trump is responding to the call that the Iranian people have. The Iranian people have heard his words. They are naming streets after him in Iran. The best way to ensure that there will be less people killed in Iran is to intervene sooner so this regime finally collapses and puts an end to all the problems that we are facing. We are at war, and we have to make sure that we are victorious.
That is an absolutely insane clip, but it's very revealing, and it just admits what the West's strategy is to try to destabilize Iran. And I have to say, some of the responses on social media were hilarious. Especially on Twitter, someone posted a meme from Shrek showing this extremely vain, arrogant king saying, "Some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice I am willing to make." And this is literally what the strategy is now for the U.S. to put this puppet in power and to restore the monarchy in Iran. Again, this has nothing to do with so-called democracy. This is about putting in power a Western puppet regime and overthrowing Iran's independent revolutionary government that has been a close ally of China and Russia and a strong supporter of Global South anti-imperialist movements, especially the Palestinian Liberation Movement. And of course, this is where Israel comes in. It should not surprise you to learn that this Iranian so-called crown prince backed by the U.S. is a big supporter of Israel as well. He wants to completely abandon the Palestinians and support the Israeli colonial regime. And Haaretz, the leading Israeli newspaper, admitted, I'm reading here from Haaretz, quote, "Israel ran a covert influence operation using fake accounts and AI-generated content to promote Iran's exiled crown prince Reza Pahlavi and push for restoring the monarchy," end quote. So it's openly out there. This is reported in mainstream Western media outlets that the U.S. and Israel are trying to overthrow Iran's government and put in power this puppet dictator, just like the U.S. did back in 1953 when the CIA overthrew Iran's independent government and put in power the Shah. And what was especially funny is to see how Mike Pompeo let the cat out of the bag. Pompeo was previously the CIA director in Trump's first administration, and then he became Trump's Secretary of State. And Mike Pompeo on Twitter, when these U.S.-backed riots in Iran started, he tweeted, quote, "Happy New Year to every Iranian in the streets, also to every Mossad agent walking beside them," end quote. So this is the former CIA director and former head of the U.S. State Department publicly admitting that many of these violent rioters in Iran trying to destabilize the Iranian government are working for Mossad, Israeli intelligence. Again, this is not just like some crazy conspiracy theorist making this up. This is the former CIA director and Secretary of State publicly admitting that Israeli intelligence is working with these violent rioters in Iran to overthrow their government. They just say the quiet part loud. They just admit everything. And while we're on the subject of U.S. officials just saying the quiet part loud, Trump's current Undersecretary of State, Jacob Hellberg, who is a neoconservative warmonger, he publicly tweeted on the 11th of January, he said, quote, "President Trump's strategy of maximum pressure has brought the regime to its knees." He's openly admitting that Trump's illegal sanctions on Iran have led to the destabilization of the Iranian government, which was always the intent of this. As Al Jazeera pointed out, and Al Jazeera, which is Qatari state media, it is not friendly to Iran. It has often been very critical of Iran. But Al Jazeera pointed out, quote, decades of U.S.-led sanctions against Iran, including ones that were toughened under President Trump, have played a central role in Iran's economic crises, end quote. And this is exactly what United Nations experts have been saying for many years. If you look at the office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, you can see on their website they have published many reports detailing how U.S. sanctions are illegal. They violate international law and they violate human rights. So when you see Western government officials claim that we should do something to help the people of Iran, as the U.S. politician Andrew Yang said, keep in mind that the best thing that the Western powers could do, especially the U.S., to actually help the people of Iran is to lift the illegal sanctions that they have imposed on Iran, which violate the human rights of people in Iran and are responsible for the economic suffering. That would be a tangible, realistic policy that would actually help the people of Iran and the people of Venezuela and Cuba and other countries targeted by the U.S. empire. But if you study the history of U.S. imperialism, you would know that the U.S. empire doesn't actually care about human rights and certainly does not care about democracy, which is why it put in power the Shah, the monarch of Iran, and is today trying to put in power his fail son. On that note, I'm going to conclude. I am Ben Norton. This is Geopolitical Economy Report. Please like and subscribe. Please share this. I will see you all next time.
You're listening to Back in USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. I'm Siegfried, and that was Handsome Furs with Serve the People. And before that, we had Ben Norton's breakdown of the situation in Iran, the protest movement, and the intervention, the active intervention of Western intelligence agencies, of the Israeli Mossad, and all their efforts to just make this a bloodbath, make this a pretext for invasion, make this an opening that they can use to basically destroy a country, to kill a nation, just like they killed Yugoslavia in the past, just like they killed Iraq, just like they killed Syria, just like they killed Libya. They want Iran to join that list of destroyed countries, countries that are no longer a threat to American control of West Asia, to Israeli expansion and Israeli apartheid. They want the destruction of all those states. And it would be an absolute catastrophe if they got their way in Iran. So I just want to stress that again, you know, that we, in order to really take a anti-imperialist stance here and to truly support the people of Iran, there has to be a destruction, weakening, dramatic weakening of imperialism in that region. That grip has to be removed for the people of Iran to truly exercise their sovereignty. Without the removal of imperialism, you know, that boot is constantly going to be on their necks. And that's what needs to go. You know, before there can be any progressive change in Iran, that's what needs to go. You know, that threat of intervention, that threat of invasion, that threat of slaughter, you know, and regime change, and the removal of sovereignty, and the removal of any democracy, and the installation of puppet governments and puppet regimes that are going to make nice with the U.S. and Israel. You know, that's what, that threat needs to be removed. You know, and that threat needs to be removed from Venezuela. It needs to be removed from everywhere in the world, you know. That's the goal for all who resist empire. The goal is sovereignty. The goal is the removal of that force, that crushing weight that presses down, like on your back, and threatens to destroy you utterly, as it's destroyed so many countries. So that's what needs to be emphasized. And I'm actually going to finish the program here with just to drive this home a little more. I'm going to go back to Michael Parenti, progressive author and scholar, his analysis of imperialism. I think it's all good for us to recap, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends. And with that, I will say goodnight, and I will see you all next time. Solidarity.
Now then you got about 5 centuries of imperialism coming along. And imperialism was when the powers of Western Europe began to expropriate the land, labor, and wealth of Eastern Europe. That was the first area of expansion and exploitation that they went into. And the second was the New World. And then having developed all the superior firepower and mobility and transportation, they went then into Africa and Asia and further into Latin America. And with this imperialism, which is a history that really, to read the history of modern imperialism, as it's still going on today, to read that history is really to read a history of a succession of the most horrendous, horrible atrocities that one can imagine. Now, when the ruling classes of these imperialist nations plundered and exploited the land, the labor, the natural resources, and the markets of other people, when they enslaved their labor, when they burned their villages, when they destroyed their industries and their crafts and their mines and their herds and their crops, when they raped them and murdered them and mutilated them, when they did all that sort of thing, and they worked them to death in the latifundios and the plantations and in the mines, then theories had to come along to justify what you were doing. And the theories about these lesser races proliferated. These lesser races were animals. They were cruel savages. They were incapable of self-governance. They were like pathetic, helpless children. They'd been around living in peace for, you know, 5,000 years before you came along, but suddenly now they wouldn't be able to get along without us. They were devoid of the normal sensibilities that one might expect from a person in civilized societies. Again, not an anachronistic attitude. in my own lifetime, in your, the lifetime of most of you, the adult lifetime of most of you, General Westmoreland, you remember him? In Vietnam, your average Asian, the Asian doesn't place the same importance on life we Americans do. That's your average Asian. And with the massive bombings and saturation bombings, a war of horror and attrition and mass slaughter, he was pointing out that indeed one of those two protagonists did not place the same value on life as the other, but he had it mixed up, that's all.
I pity the country, I pity the state, and the mind of a man who thrives on hate. Small are the lives of cheats and of liars, of bigoted news press, fascist town crier. Deception annoys me, deception destroys me. The Bill of Rights throws me in jails, they all know me. Frustrated are churchmen, the saving of soul men, the tinker, the tailor, the colonial governor. They pull and they palm me, they're seeking to draw me away from the roundness of the light. Civil servants, they thrive off my body. Their trip is with power, back bacon and welfare. Police, they arrest me. Materialists test me. Pollution, it chokes me. Movies, they joke me. Politicians exploit me. City life that jades me. Hudson Bay fleece me. Hunting laws freak me. Government is bumbling. Revolution's rumbling. To be ruled in impunity is tradition continuity. I pity the country. I pity the state. And the mind of a man who thrives on hate.